Welcome to episode 19 of the Yuri Brito Podcast. I'm your host, Yuri Brito. Thanks for joining us. Well, first and foremost, I am grateful for some new listeners to our podcast who have sent me notes of encouragement, and thank you. I don't want to name you. Unless you give me permission, I'll be happy to give you a shout out here on the podcast next time. But thanks for joining and thanks for your insights. And I'm hoping this will be a consistent endeavor for Monday through Thursday. On this episode, there's a couple things that I want to bring to your attention as we begin this new week in the third week of the Advent season. The first thing that opens this conversation this week here is the current political brouhaha taking place and the unending cycle of disdain for the political process that ought to take place when civilized people are in politics. But largely, we have an uncivilized Senate, uncivilized Congress, with few shiny exceptions. This impeachment process has revealed there is a lot of uncivility. And for all the talk of coming together and bridging divides and finding common ground, that usually is a call for votes or financial support, because the principle behind it doesn't really exist. Principle of politics in our day is, let us win no matter the cost. Let's accomplish what we want, which is a total destruction of the opposing party, until we get the implementation of our agenda and until it can no longer be reverted to anything else but our view of the world. Now, the Republican Party, of course, is also guilty of this. And I laid the blame at several Republican politicians. There is one Republican politician who has actually talked about this quite often. I think somebody who actually lives this process. And he is Senator Ben Sasse, who's written a book on this very topic here. And in the book, he addresses these divides and he offers some principles on how to actually have civilized conversations. But we don't live in those times. As I said in the previous podcast, this is not the 1960s and 70s. We don't have a sweet Catholic Democrat president. We don't have a kind, older man leading the Democratic Party. We have a list of candidates applying for a position, all of which share one thing in common: a complete disdain for all things having to do with the religious right. Now, how do I use that term, religious right? There is the terminology used in the moral majority in the 1980s, in the Jerry Falwell days, that had a kind of eschatological flavor to it, if you know what I'm saying. It was something very grounded in their identity with a connection to Israel. And there was this kind of a Americana personification, that to be Republican, to be conservative, meant you had to fit into this sort of John Hagee dispensational inclinations, and the trajectory of your thinking would end up somewhere in New Jerusalem, that kind of thing. We may have something like that today, but nowhere where it was in the 1980s with Jerry Falwell and that tribe. So we've seen our share of abuses even in the Republican Party in the last few decades. The Democratic Party, however, is conspicuous for one thing, and that is their decline in interest in that which is biblically and clearly affirmed. And obviously the major issue, which we've discussed in previous podcasts, is the issue of sexuality. But if we take just a step back and actually discuss the concept of God himself, let's not even talk about the Trinitarian God. That's way too far even to contemplate. Let's talk about the concept of God himself as a title to be used when we're dealing with the American religious thing. So a generic God that I've criticized so often. But let's begin even at that very, very small point there. What does the Democratic Party think about that? There was an article published by the New York Post in 2017 entitled "Democrats Still Haven't Faced Their God Problem" by Selena Zito. And it's very interesting because it ties into an issue I'm going to talk about shortly here with Buttigieg. And in this article in 17, the author writes about how there is this declining thinking about God, And he writes that some of this has to do with the lower church attendance in cities versus rural areas, and the Democratic Party's increasing reliance on urban voters. Some of it is the divisiveness of social or cultural issues like abortion and gay marriage. And the divide has seemingly sapped Democrats' ability to communicate to religious Americans. And here's where I think he makes a very crucial point in this conversation here. And this goes back to 2012, actually, when you remember the Democratic Party convention of 2012, where the hall sort of exploded in anger when the Democrats voted to amend their party's platform to include the word God. You remember that? You can even see it on YouTube here. There was an incredible outrage from the people. There were loud boos across the arena, essentially saying, we don't want a party where any kind of generic religion is applied to or engaged in our political efforts. The article closes with these very impressive words. Democrats were hugely successful across the country by solidifying their base, and in the process, they have pushed away religious voters not simply by ignoring them, but by actively repelling them with accusations of bigotry and backwardness. Unless they change that, Democrats haven't got a prayer of solving their God problem. That's good writing right there, ladies and gentlemen. And this ties directly with an article I read today about Pete Buttigieg, where Pete Buttigieg, as a way of solidifying his growing support in the Democratic Party, which is falling apart speedily, Buttigieg is returning to his religious background because he realizes that only a moderate position, a moderate Democrat, can actually put up a fight with Trump in 2020. And the difficulty, of course, for Buttigieg is that he's going to have to win the Democratic nomination by appealing as a moderate. But the strategy usually is you appeal as a radical in the nomination, and then when you go to the national elections, you appeal as a moderate. Buttigieg is now attempting to play the moderate role, which he's been relatively consistent with. And now the way he wants to do that is because he knows he has a problem with the black community, is that Buttigieg is going back to his Episcopalian faith as a way to connect with black voters. And so he's rallying black Episcopal priests around the country and finding common ground in issues related to social justice and etc. Is it working? I'm not sure it's working, but Buttigieg is actually attempting to touch on something that most Democrats have not had the ability nor the courage to do, is they're beginning to see that they do have a God problem, as Selena Zito discussed in 2017, and that the only way they will find some common ground with the undecided voter, the independent voter, or even the Republican that is fed up with Donald Trump, is by bringing God back to the conversation. Now, I know they're not going to be bringing a biblical version of God. It'll be a generic God, a God that satisfies everybody because he demands nothing. Buttigieg is shooting for that. He wants to be seen by the black community, which is largely a religious community, as someone who not only understands the social issues, the need of the poor, but also understands that in the end of the day, you got to go to church on Sunday. And so he's playing that card quite well. He's getting some attraction. I wouldn't be surprised if Buttigieg kind of jumped ahead and showed quite an impressive showing in Iowa and in other states. But again, enough for that. Buttigieg, of course, is just playing religion here, because ultimately he doesn't really want the God of the Bible. If he did, he would publicly acknowledge his sin before God. He would turn away from his immorality. He would acknowledge that he's been living in sin, and he would acknowledge that his deep hatred for who God is evidenced in the way he thinks about the world. You see, people don't come out and just say, look, I hate God. No, they play the religious game as much as they can, as long as it suits their purposes. But at the end, when you look at a life lived, when you look at the human ideologies that are conveyed through his platform, when you look at the platform of his own party, what you see is an ideology that simply says, I hate God, because if I loved him, I would want the whole God, the triune God, not a minuscule portion that serves my purposes, not a minuscule portion that allows me to communicate to the black community to get their votes. Politics has become a spectacle like what we saw in the Greek arenas. And they may not be killing themselves like the gladiators did or be eaten by lions, but they're displaying their acumen and their strengths and their gifts to the roar of the crowds, even if that roar is the statement, we do not want God in our platform. The final thing I want to recite to you is actually something mighty beautiful. Every year I have read through G.K. Chesterton's The Donkey. I'm not someone who is very skilled in poetry. I have some friends, members of my congregation, some of my parishioners who are incredibly gifted. I just read a few of them, and I stick to the ones I like. And this one by Chesterton is quite brilliant. You can find it online, and I want to read it to you as we close this episode. The Donkey. When fishes flew, and forests walked, and figs grew upon thorn, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry, and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody on all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, starve, scourge, deride me, I am dumb, I keep my secret still. Fools! For I also had my hour, one far fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears, and palms before my feet. G.K. Chesterton, The Donkey. This is the Yuri Brito Podcast. We'll see you tomorrow.